Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart Talk. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has great things to say to us. He loves us. And His love runs deep. His love is perfect. The love of God carries us and shows us the ways of God. The love of God has strength in it. That's why I say in our worst times, our hardest days, the love of God will carry you, strengthen you. The love of God is mighty. The love of God is nothing. There's nothing weak about the love of God. When you're in His presence, you're in nourishment. He loves you. He strengthens you. And you become mighty in Him. Now, as we go forward seeking Him and learning His ways, the more we love, the more we're going to live. When you become receptive to His love, you become receptive to His knowledge, the balance of it. You become receptive to His wisdom and the balance of it. And you become receptive to His holiness and the balance it gives. Now, when all these things are happening, you're growing and changing, you're advancing. As you receive the Word of God, you can operate it in your life. Your perceptions begin to change more and more. The way we think, which, you know, we were born to sin, shaped in iniquity. And the Lord had great mercy on us to save us, and He works with us. He didn't just give us a salvation plan. He actually taught us things and worked with us so that we could do something with the salvation that we have. Every soul has to work out his salvation. We receive righteousness and we use it to work it out in our lives. Don't get it confused. We're not working for our salvation. We're working out our salvation. We're living the love of God. The same love that He presented us with, we present it to others. And as He presents it to us, we ramp it up and represent others with that. We're enabled to do greater things, so we're enabled to love on a greater scale. This is the healthy way of becoming mature in Him. When we become mature in the Lord, and we're growing, we become mature in His love, and we share it. Now, if you look at what God did in the first place, if there was no sin, you could grow much faster. You know, we read about Jesus walking on water. If there was no sin, people would just start walking on water, defying gravity at their will. Because there would be no limitation. We learn limitations. We receive limitations because that forms out of sin. It lowers your expectations. Now, we don't really need to walk on water, but Jesus did it to show us something. And He gave us a prime example for doing so. He came walking on the water, and Peter said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." Now, this is right down Jesus' alley. He loved to do things to inspire their faith. And then Peter walked on the way. As long as he was watching Jesus, he was walking on real liquid water that you could normally dive into. He was walking on it. There was no fake tricks. This was real. Then when he changed his focus and began to see, saw the waves roaring, then he began to sink. He didn't just sink, he began to sink. And this shows us that if your focus changes, you change with it. Your conditions change. The dynamics of your life start changing. But when you look at Jesus and receive His nourishing love, you begin to rise, you begin to go forward in life. This is a literal and spiritual principle that he showed us through walking on the water with him. As we receive his love, the knowledge of his love is the word of God. We receive it in our heart and speak it with our mouth. We change the dynamics of our life, and the whole spectrum of our life began to change. We don't see ourselves defeated anymore. We see ourselves as alive, not dead. If something is dying, if you have a disease, a deadly disease, you can destroy it. You can destroy the disease before it destroys you. You can say something and stop the process of the cancer or whatever it is, or the tumor, or whatever it is. Even if a machine cuts your arm off, you can actually go to heaven and get another one. You know, I have about four or five references of people who went to heaven and they saw a building with body parts. And you can receive your body part if you want to. But preacher, that sounds far-fetched. It's no more far-fetched than a tree being growing up out of an acorn. God loves us and he has provision for us. If Jesus could rise from the dead and his body is whole, we can too. Jesus paid a high price so we could have this rich salvation. Receiving it is up to us. And we can receive it at our will. We can receive the living love of God, all the promises and privilege of life. The world suggests that you can't have it, but the world is a lie. We can have it. And I know for a fact that I'm not perfectly skilled at receiving body parts either. It may even take an anointing for me to do it, but I know it's mine. And if I push the envelope, I can get it. And I'm asking, you know, wherever I lack, because of the way you were taught and structured and growed up, you know, when I was growing up, I wasn't taught these things. But as an adult, I learned these things. People taught it. People went to heaven. Robert Schlierden was the first one that I know of to go to heaven, and he told what he saw. He wrote it down. And Henry Gruber went to heaven and wrote about it. Mary Kay Baxter wrote about it. What she saw, heaven and hell. Now, I saw these things. I know it exists. I mean, I know that. I believe these references. I went to hell before. I know that exists. That's not why I believe in hell. I know it because the Word said. I believe in heaven because the Word said. But God let some of his people go there and see things. And I know God's perfect heart. It's his desire for us to have his best. Now, you can have these things, but first, you got to believe the Word. You got to believe it before you see it. You got to know that you got it without sight. That, my friend, is faith. Your faith can redefine anything you need in this life. If the world took it from you, God can give it back. And don't feel bad about the people that misuse you and lie on you and they take you to court and sue you. And the people that trouble you and take what you have and use the courts against you and win. So many people are actually robbed by child support. It's supposed to be something for the children, but the people are abusing it on both ends. Some people don't pay it, and some people, I've heard situations where the husband had the children, the wife had the custody, but he still had to pay child support because she was so sorry. She was a lousy mother, but every time he made money, she'd take him back to court and get more money out of him, and he's keeping the kids. Now, if you have a situation like that, turn it over to God. The Lord is able to do something. And don't worry about it. Keep loving the person. preaching. It makes me angry. I know. Keep loving the person. The word said, be angry and sin by receive this kind of love from God. And nobody expect that somebody they were interested in act like this, but there are evil people out there. Some people are sinners, and they get their friends are sinners, and they get the money and do drugs and shack up with somebody else. And people are doing all kinds of things, and of course, are enabling them sometimes. Sometimes the courts are balanced, and sometimes they're not. But God is able to give you back the years that the cankerworm made. Just keep doing what's right. We overcome evil with good. Raise your children in the Lord, and the Lord will fight your battle. Don't try to fight your battle by yourself. Let God handle it. There are evil people out there. You're not going to change them in some time. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But your love might keep that person out of hell. And you can separate, you can tell Satan at your will that he can't use that person against you. And it's also wise to say, Satan, you can't use me against them, because the enemy is trying to drive you into forms of darkness. But keep on going by the love of God. And some people have gotten themselves into miserable trouble. And some people have gotten people into miserable trouble to interrupt their life and destiny. But tell Satan, you can't interrupt my life and destiny. And God will make the difference. He'll show you a way out. He'll show you the way out and give you back the years that the cankerworm did. Sometimes wrong things happen to people that don't deserve it. Wrong things have happened to me, but God was there. And it took a lot of dedication and work to get it right. And I'm still recovering from some of the things that I had to go through. But God is able to give you years that the cankerworm did. And I'm not lying, I know what I'm talking about. Not only that, God will bless you to go through the things that you have to deal with. That's not your fault. He'll help you deal with it. And he'll give you joy in the process and peace. I was never without his peace. But I had to decide to do it God's way. I had to overcome to decide to do it God's way, just like you do. And I'm saying, you know, we're in this situation. Some people are bent on the world. They love the world. They're driven by it. Some people don't like the world, but they're driven by it. And they act out because they're driven by worldly principles. They doubt, they don't use faith, and they try to get you to do what they're supposed to do. Or they're hurt, and they hurt other people. All kinds of things are going on. Some people are leveraged to do wrong, and then it starts, and Satan gets in their life. Some people walk around with fear. And Satan, fear attracts Satan. Satan is behind fear. Fear is a thought that causes you to have false allegiance to your enemy. But see, when fear is in your life, Satan is attached to that fear. You have to disconnect with fear. You have to disconnect with doubt. You can't afford to doubt God, because if you have doubt in your heart, your faith won't work. Doubt is like an off switch. It turns your faith off. You have to have faith and no doubt inside your heart to win. And unbelief is rejection. Don't reject the Word of God. Embrace it. Learn to receive the Word of God with the intent to do it. Not just learn about it, but do it. Receiving it introduces you to the Word. Hearing the Word and receiving it introduces you to the Word. It's the first stage of learning. But you finish learning when you do it and practice it. God gave us His life, but we learn from it by receiving it, believing it, practicing it, and finishing it. But then you know what the Lord has to say. You see it for what it is. It's very important. And God loves you, cares about every aspect of your life. And see, when in the hard times, when you learn God in the hard, if you can learn Him in the hard times, you can definitely learn about the things that are going on. There are so many, the demons we fight, and the fallen angels we fight, the fallen angels were once angels, and they left a wonderful situation to, after fooling around with Satan, and became an enemy to us. And then there were angels that left their first estate and took women, earth women, as wives. And that, I believe the word was putting it mildly for us. They just got the women they wanted and had sex with them and had children. Or maybe they did deceive them into marrying. I don't know how they did, but the word said they took them wives and they had their children, the giants. When they die, they don't have a covenant with God. And those are the demon spirits we're fighting. Now, and this is what I was taught, so that's what I'm saying. The demons, there's many of them. And they're real. And they look terrible. They're mean. And they drive people to darkness. If you don't make up your mind to follow God, they aggravate you into and try to attempt to leverage you into doing wrong or leaving things wrong in your life, taking out the joy of your life. Even if you have possessions, like a nice warm house and the latest cars, good furniture, they'll try to sap the joy out of your life by causing you to choose to focus on what's wrong until there's strife in the house. And when there's a buildup of strife, then people can't honor each other anymore. They can't hear each other anymore. If you take an argument of any couple that has strife in their heart against each other, and you take the argument, it's not logical. It's just not logical. They're upset. The wife is upset because the husband did or didn't do something that she figured he should have. And he's upset because the wife did or didn't do something that he feels she shouldn't have. And sometimes, in proving their point, they're saying the same thing. But they can't see the other person's side because the strife is demonic. When you're in strife, you can't learn. You have to, the word of God is sown in peace. And in order to have peace, you got to get rid of the strife. The word says, envy and strife causes confusion and every evil work. Confusion and every evil work. When people get to a point that they're bitter against somebody, if you're bitter against them, you feel like you can hurt them, and you feel justified to hurt them, to take them to court, to take their last. And that should never, you know, people shouldn't be that way, but after all the love that God has given us. And the Lord taught me not to hate, not to get in bitterness, not to get in strife. Do what's right with people. Go forward. And if you follow Him, you won't have to take so many losses. And so, people are capable of doing you harm. You have to understand that. So in business deals, you have to set things up so that everybody wins. In life, you have to judge whether you're going to do what you're going to do for people and when and why. Because some people, bless their heart, they are not like you are. Some people are treacherous, and you have to use the protocol cause God will give you to safeguard your life from people who can be treacherous. And it's hard to tell, but the Holy Spirit knows. That's why it's so important to marry the person that God gave you. If God didn't sanction it, that's not to fool with it. But if you're already married, then you're already in covenant with this person. And if you look to the Lord, maybe things will work out like they should. But if you take your family to church and encourage them in God's ways, then maybe they'll go. Some people won't. But if you do, your chances of them doing what's right is high. Especially your children. You have to, the word said, take your children to church. And they have to go. And be brought up in the counsel of God. It's time now for people to start doing the word and taking God's word seriously. If you're not doing the word, some things you're just not going to get. Some things you won't have. You'll have to do without. But unnecessarily so. Because the word gives us all that we need. Because God is good that way. He loves us. And he's going to help us learn and grow. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.